I feel like the Lord has put a word in my heart today. And the Lord took my mind to a story in His Word that probably most of us have heard or read at some point in our life. And He began to show me this parallel in this story that I want to bring to light today. It's quite a lot of scripture, so I'm going to let you be seated in a moment before we get into it. And the way I'm going to read it to you today is I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm going to preach a little bit, make a few points, read a few scriptures, and I'm just going to begin to kind of preach my way through this text with you today and show you the parallel that I feel like God has shown me for where you are as a church body and where some of you are personally. And I'm rejoicing and I'm excited about it because God is up to big things here in Athens, Ohio. Amen. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house with your people. God, we're so grateful for this atmosphere of faith and just the unity, Lord, that is in this room right now. God, we're in one accord. God, and when we are in a mindset like this, we know that you can operate and move. Lord, that the demonstration of your Spirit has no boundaries in an atmosphere like this. So God, as we conclude this prayer and we get into your word today, God, I pray that the flow of your Spirit would continue, the operation of the gift of faith, God, would only grow and escalate, and the demonstration of your working power would be evidenced and witnessed in this room today in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. Amen. Give the Lord another great hand clap of praise as you're seated. Praise God. If you would go in the word with me this morning to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading with verses 1 and 2. 2 Samuel. Amen. Chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And we are going to pick up this story here, if you're unfamiliar, where the Ark of the Covenant was not in its proper place. It was not in a place where it belonged. And so God authorized and commissioned King David to go and retrieve it and bring it home. Praise God. And that's where we're going to start. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And I'm going to preach to you with the help of the Lord this thought. This ain't no ordinary worship.
Come on.
This ain't no ordinary worship. Praise God. Have you sang that song yet here? Oh, it's coming. I just feel it. Hallelujah. This ain't no ordinary worship. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. 30,000. Sometimes I feel like it's a lot to travel somewhere with my family. I can't imagine going somewhere with 30,000 people. Praise God. And David rose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. David was on a mission.
Amen.
There you go. Come on. Let's just get in a rhythm right from the go, right? Amen. David was on a mission.
Amen.
When he came to Judah, he wasn't just passing through. He came intentionally to bring back the ark of God. Somebody say he was on a mission. Hallelujah. I'm just going to insert a disclaimer here and let you know that Brother Blankenship and his family have no idea what I'm preaching here today. They are not responsible or accountable for anything that I say.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But I want to declare to you what I know in the Holy Ghost. The Blankenship family isn't here on accident. They weren't just driving through Athens one day and decided to stay. God sent them here on a mission.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Lord said, Brother Barry, I just feel like God probably calls you brother, you know. Brother Barry, there's a church down there in Athens that needs saving. Praise God. That's right where I expected the and I got it. But I you right back. Because that's exactly what the Lord did. And that's exactly what the Lord said. He said, wake up, Barry. I'm sending you to a place because there is a mission. There is a space. There is a place that needs a man to bring it to a place where it used to be and to go beyond.
Yeah.
Woo. He said, I'm going to use you to bring it back. You're the family that's going to lead my restoration of revival in this region.
Praise God.
Blankenship family, I got a work that's been deserted, and I'm commissioning you to raise it back up, to carry it forward.
Oh, hallelujah.
Did you know that that's how God works? He gets a man and he gets a plan. And then he says, go.
Hallelujah.
Listen, we don't operate according to the systems of the world. And I will tell you that most of the time, the man he sends did not get to vote in the place he goes. I remember when the Lord began to deal with me about going to Ironton. I said, God, do I have a vote? He said, no, you don't have a vote. You either go and be in the will of God or you stay and be out of the will of God. So I decided to go, and they decided to go, and now God is confirming the work with signs following.
Hallelujah.
Going back to our text, David comes and he retrieves the ark as instructed by the Lord. He begins to facilitate this journey the way that God wanted it to be done. This was not an ordinary task the Lord had sent David to do. And when something is out of the ordinary, it usually requires doing things that seem extraordinary to accomplish it.
Hallelujah.
David, when you carry the ark, I want you to take 6 steps. Worshiping, dancing, praising, and then stop and sacrifice. You're going to give me glory, and then you're going to stop and sacrifice. And David, no one touches the ark. Nobody gets the credit. Nobody gets to be a superstar. Nobody's name except for my name will be a part of this extraordinary work that I've sent you to lead. I want you to hear me, Life Point. It seems like you're repeating cycles. You know why it seems that way? Because you are. But you're not walking in circles. Each cycle is bringing you closer to a restoration of his glory. Cycles are not circles.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's time to praise again. Yep.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
It's time to dance again. Yep. Did we do this last week? Yep. Woo! And we're going to do it again? Yep. Why? Because he's restoring his glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, it's time to give again? Yep. It's time to sacrifice again? Yep. Why does it feel like we keep repeating what we did last week? Because we are. Woo! Why? Because every six steps, every sacrifice is bringing a restoration of his glory. Hallelujah. Your cycles are not circles, but every week that you walk in this place and you lift your hands and you lift your voice and you sacrifice unto God, you are six steps closer to the restoration of his glory. Verse 5, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. I watched your praise team today and I thought, that's a fulfillment of Scripture. There's instruments being added. Woo! Talents being expanded. The ministry's growing. What are they doing? They're bringing a restoration of his glory. It's not a performance, it's a praise. It's not a concert, it's a worship. Hey, it's not just a show or a showcase of talent. No, it's a restoration of his glory.
That's right.
When they came, I tell you, I'm looking forward to the day. I know that's going to happen. I declare what's happening here is going to happen for us in Ironton, Ohio. Hallelujah. Right now, we got a keyboard player and a drummer. But one day, we're going to have somebody on the organ, and we're going to have somebody on the guitar, and we're going to have somebody on the bass. Hey, we're looking to your life point. We're watching what God's doing. We're saying, hey, if it can happen there, it can happen for us. Come on, we're walking with you in the restoration of his glory in this region. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah. Anybody here named Uzzah? No. All right. I bet nobody was ever named Uzzah after this story. Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Let me tell you something this morning. When you're a part of something extraordinary, there are times that things get shaky.
Yeah.
Friend of mine, when things seem like they're a little unstable, you don't have to save it.
Truth. Woo.
The Lord, I thought it was preaching. Hallelujah. She said, that'll preach. Oh, but what am I doing? I'm not giving a lecture. My God. The Lord knew the oxen would shake it. The Lord knew there would be some shaking, some uncertainty.
Yeah.
Don't put your hand on something that God has not instructed you to say. If he started it, he can finish it. If he commissioned it, he'll see it through to completion. You don't have to worry about it. Every time there's a little bump, just keep praising, keep worshiping, keep cycling, because you're moving forward. I've seen people destroyed when they put their hands on something God never called them to carry. I've heard preachers say stuff like that when I was younger. And I would think, well, I've never seen it. Well, I'm 42 now. And now my vantage point's a little different because I have seen it. Hallelujah. We just had a ministry meeting recently. You know what we talked about in that meeting? We define the lanes. Just, okay. Hallelujah. I'll just say this, I'm going to move on. Stay in the lane God puts you in. Because you're going to be most effective in the lane God puts you in. The moment you try to change lanes without a directive from the Lord or your leadership, that's when collisions happen. Truth. Aren't you thankful I gave a disclaimer? Amen. Well, what do we do when things get shaky? What do I do, Mr. Evangelist, when there's a problem with the process that's affecting me? What do I do when there's a challenge in the journey? What do I do when it looks like it's all about to fall down? The ark is going down, preacher. What do I do? Praise him. Exalt him. Sacrifice. Repeat. Worship him, dance before him, sacrifice, repeat. Take six more steps and sacrifice and repeat. What do you do when it's out of control? You just take six steps, keep worshiping, sacrifice and repeat. The ark is up to God. You just do what God asked you to do. When Uzzah died because of his disobedience to God, it shook David so bad that all progress stopped. What happened? Progress stopped when somebody reacted to shaking in the wrong way. He put the ark at Obed-Edom's house and forsook the mission of God that the Lord had sent him to accomplish. Whew. That's how much the wrong reaction can cost the church.
Yeah. Mm.
Let me tell you something. Doing the wrong thing when it gets shaky can cost the mission precious time.
Yeah.
Ooh. Huh. The ark was at Obed-Edom's house for 1 year before David came back to try again. Don't cost the kingdom a year. Amen. By sanctifying yourself as a savior of the problem like Uzzah did. If there's a problem with the process, it's God's problem. If he told David how to carry the ark, he will tell him how to pick it back up if it falls off the cart. We don't have time, Brother Kidwell, for a 1 year stall. We don't have time to give the adversary 12 calendar months because we didn't know what to do with uncertainty. I feel like God has sent me here today preemptively to tell you, when things get shaky in this extraordinary mission I've sent you on, don't you put your hand on something I have not called you to hold. You just keep worshiping, praising, sacrificing, and repeating, and let the cycle I gave you be what takes you to the destiny that I've promised to you. So if it all feels like it falls apart this week, you know what you're going to do next Sunday? You're going to show up. And you're going to worship. You're going to come back next Sunday. Well, it just feels like nothing's going right. But I'm here. And I'm going to give in the offering. And I'm going to worship with the praise team. And I'm going to say amen when pastor's preaching. I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to continue to have a narrative of joy through the week. I'm going to continue to speak the language of faith Monday through Saturday. Why? Because I'm taking six steps. Because God is taking us forward. Hallelujah. Verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Woo. Let me tell you something here this morning. Life Point is moving up. And God desires that all the house go with it. God desires every one of you are worshiping in the promise and the destiny that he's called you to. We're not looking for collateral damage. We want all the house to go up in the promise. I just feel in the Holy Ghost to say this to somebody here today. Maybe you've been checked out this last year. Maybe you've seen some stuff that you thought, well, I'm not sure if that's right. I don't know how I feel about that. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a part of the process you don't agree with. So you've just been standing back, waiting for it to fail. The Lord sent me here to give you two words. One, he's telling you, it's not going to fail. It's not going to fail. Listen, I've watched people that had a problem with the process step back and wait for it to fail. And you know what? They didn't just wait. Some of them got left behind because it never failed. It did what God wanted it to do, and this will too. So if you're waiting to see how it's going to pan out, I'm telling you, this church is walking into the promise and destiny that God has called it to.
Hey, yes.
And two, you don't have to leave just because you were wrong. Anybody ever been wrong before? Oh, you pastor an honest church. Mostly. Man, I've been wrong before, Brother Barry. Man, it didn't feel good. You know what being wrong does? Makes you have to say, man, I was wrong. Because if you never say I was wrong, then you just stay wrong. And you can't become right until you acknowledge you were wrong.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
That'll preach. You don't have to leave just because you were wrong. Just start worshiping. Just start sacrificing. If you didn't make a pledge, disclaimer, you keep it in your back pocket the whole time, okay? If you didn't make a pledge to the building fund, make one. If you've been distanced in your spirit, start worshiping with all the house again. You can be a part of the rejoicing when his work is accomplished. All you got to do is just get back in the process. Just get back in the process. There they go. They're walking again. They're taking six steps. I've been sitting over here watching. Well, I might as well just start worshiping. I might as well just start worshiping. I might as well start giving. I might as well start sacrificing, because I want to go up with all the house into the promise of God. Greater faith is committing to give $5,000 to this building program.
Thank you, Jesus.
I saw your pastor. He came in to meet the district board, right? That's when I said something to you, I think. I saw him at Calvary. How long ago was that? Almost a year? Almost a year ago I saw him. And the Lord quickened me in that foyer. He said, greater faith is going to partner with Life Point in where I'm taking it. And I've been waiting on God's time, and I've been waiting on God's number. And this morning, God was like, this is the day. You're going to release it, and you're going to let them know that you're living what you're preaching. We are joining in as a partnership of faith with where God is taking this church and this region. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter if it's $5, $50, $500, or $5,000. And no, I'm not even taking an offering today, but you need to understand that you need to be a part of the process. Take six steps and sacrifice. Walk and worship and praise and trust God for the end. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo. Verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. She didn't like what she was seeing. She didn't like what was going on. Well, I thought we was just going to be a little old country church. Sorry, you're going to be a revival church. Well, I thought it was us four and no more. Sorry, you're just going to keep growing. You're just going to keep multiplying. You're just going to keep seeing the growth, the healing, the multiplication, and the miracles of God in this region. You're only willing to watch like Michal, but you're not willing to worship, then you'll eventually withdraw.
That's right.
When someone despises a work that God is doing, you need to understand this. The work will keep moving forward.
Yeah.
But that person dies where they are in their spirit.
My God.
Don't be deceived
into despising. Because the only person it hurts is you. We'll hurt for you. We'll miss you. And you can come join us anytime you want to. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody today. You've been watching from a distance. You need to hear this preacher today. It's time to start walking and worshiping. Start walking and worshiping. Go with where God is taking this great church. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set in his place, verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is so awesome. God is building a dwelling place for his glory here in Athens. This church will be a landmark for the miraculous.
I believe it. I believe it.
Hello. This church will be a landmark for the miraculous. This church will be a landmark for deliverance.
Hallelujah.
This church will be a landmark for new life in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
People will know where the glory is in Athens, Ohio.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, and all the people. Look at your neighbor and say, that's us. All the people will be blessed. The cycle is worth it. A restoration of his glory will bring blessing to your house. It will bring blessing to your family. It will bring blessing to your marriage. It will bring blessing to your children. And it will bring blessing to this city. The cycle is worth it. Verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. She sarcastically deriding and tearing down her husband after he just accomplished what God asked him to do. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. He said, Michal, what I did unto God. And then he called out by discernment the root cause of her despising. God chose me over your daddy, Michal.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, don't let jealousy keep you on the outskirt of what God is doing in this I'm telling you, I'm in the Holy Ghost today. That much I know. You may not be with me like you were when I was talking about miracles, but I'll tell you one thing. This is the word of the Lord for this day, for this congregation, because God has sent me here to help equip you for the journey, so that when you open the doors to that brand new building on that brand new land, all the house, will walk in rejoicing and magnifying God, knowing that his blessing is surely upon them.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, verse 23, last scripture. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. It's amazing to me that Michal became the wife of David, because David did what God wanted him to do in the valley of Elah when he killed Goliath. Michal was his prize. He got the girl. And though Michal was a brief part of the story, she would never become a part of the heritage. Because she could not rejoice when David did what God wanted him to do. I'm telling you, the choice is, am I just going to be a part of the story, or am I going to be part of the heritage?
My Lord.
I want you to think about how heavy that word is when you consider the fact that Jesus came from the lineage of David. What could have Michal's heritage been if she would have walked and worshiped with all the house of Israel? I'm not content, Brother Barry, to just be part of the story. I want to be part of the heritage of what God is doing in this room. You want to look back and say, my baby was baptized in that baptismal. My little girl received the gift of the Holy Ghost 1 week when we were just walking. 1 week when we were walking, God did a miracle of healing in my body. It was just an ordinary cycle. We just showed up to sacrifice like we always do. And God delivered. God healed. God saved. God provided. He blessed. I've seen ministries and giftings die when they could not rejoice in the obedience of others. A few weeks back, I was at a revival service at a different church, and their praise team sang a song I'd never heard before. And today I titled this message after that song. It's called, "This Ain't No Ordinary Worship." I think I like it just because of the ain't. You know? This ain't just fits. This ain't no ordinary worship. And here are some of the lyrics. This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary song. The God I serve is greater than the ordinary. So I'm going to give him all I have in this moment. This ain't no ordinary Sunday. And that's not just an ordinary set list that they sang today. Because you are worshiping the God of the extraordinary. So even though it may seem like an ordinary Sunday, I'm going to give him all I got in this moment. Because I know today represents 6 steps made from the last 6 steps. And we're 7 days closer than we were last week.
Yes.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you. I've lived through building programs. I'm sorry. I just what I feel today. They can be tedious. They can be long. You can hit roadblocks, and you know what becomes difficult? Managing expectation. And what I feel like God has released into this congregation today is the recipe to manage your expectation in the process. Because you may not know what day you're going to walk in that building, but you do know that today you're 7 days closer than you were last Sunday. That there wasn't one day wasted, but every day counted, every song counted, every altar call counted, every breakthrough counted, and got us closer to the promise. Song goes on to say, let me tell you the story about a woman with an issue. Had it 12 long years, didn't know what to do. She heard about a man coming through her town. She fell to her knees and crawled on the ground. This is what she said, y'all. She said, if I could only touch at the hem of his garment, I'm going to give it all I have in this moment. Yeah. Don't get destination disease on your journey to the new building and just sit here and think, I'm going to save my shout for when we move in over there. No, every single time you gather, you give it all in this moment. You don't know what day a lady with an issue of blood is going to walk through that door and need to touch the hem of his garment. To tell you a story about a man from Galilee. He healed the lame. He caused the blind to see. This man, he was betrayed, crucified for you and me. This man only wanted to make us free. This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary song. The God I serve is greater than the ordinary. So I'm going to give him all. In this moment. Let me tell you something today, Life Point. This road you're on right now as a church, this ain't no ordinary worship. Right. You're not just going through the motions. You're not just spinning your wheels. You are part of something extraordinary. God is not only allowing you to be a part of the story, but he's inviting you to become a part of the heritage. Yes. This building program you're in, this church on a hill, this giving campaign, friend, this ain't no ordinary worship. It ain't no ordinary journey. You're a part of something extraordinary, Life Point. Ha. Let me tell you today that some of you are going to have miracle testimonies on this journey that are going to be extraordinary. Woo. Some of you are going to have revival break out in your family. That's going to be extraordinary.
Yes.
I think I'll preach a little bit. We got a young lady in our church. Her name's Victoria. Man, she loves God. Her husband, longtime Baptist, comes, sits in the back. He talks to me after the spirit has settled down, you know what I mean? But when the spirit's moving, he's like, not sure about you. So he'd be ducking out the back as fast as he could. And I'd always be real gentle. Pastor, like a good pastor, right? Oh, God bless you, brother. And inside I'm like, come on, man. He's like, God bless you, bud. God bless you. He's like, oh, good to see you, pal. Good to see you, too. And inside I'm like, come on. We're 6 steps closer than we were last week. Hallelujah. Woo. And one day, man, it just came on me. I went back there. I went right up to him. And just for reference, this dude's humongous, okay? And I walked up to him. I said, listen here, buddy. I said, today's the day. I said, I've been nice. I said, but it's time for you to get after it. I said, you need to get after everything that God's got for you. Yes. He said, okay. He said, I know. You're right. He said, okay. Then I walked away, and he went home. He said, babe, he said, I got to get the Holy Ghost at home because if I go to church, pastor's going to grab me, and he's going to drag me to that altar, and he's going to make me get the Holy Ghost. He said, so, but I got some questions. She said, well, you need to ask pastor those questions. So she texted, so the phone tag began. She texted my wife. She said, Zach's got some questions. So my wife said, hey, Zach's got some questions. I said, all right. I said, all right. I said, well, nobody ever turns down food. I said, let's have them over for dinner. And so we had their family over for dinner. I said, Zach, you got some questions? After we fed him, right? You got some questions? Yeah. I said, well, give me the questions. And he was coming up with every question he could think of. And I was just, I was ready. I said, Zach, it's Friday. I said, Sunday's coming. He said, I know. He said, I'm going to go home and get the Holy Ghost. He said, because I know you're going to make me go to that altar on Sunday. I said, you better believe I am. So he went home. He said, baby, he said, you got to pray for me. I got to get the Holy Ghost. And she said, Zach, she said, the other day I woke up and God gave me a vision of you sitting in the chair where you are right now with your hands lifted, crying, speaking in tongues for the very first time. Let me tell you something. I went to bed that night and I slept good. My belly was full of meat. And I woke up to a text message at 5:19 a.m. from Zach that said, I got it. He said, I'm crying. I can barely type this text message. He said, but Pastor, I got. Hey, why are you saying that story? I'm wanting you to know that those are the kind of miracles that are going to happen on the way to promise. That's what you can expect on this journey. It's not an ordinary Sunday. It's an extraordinary day. Come on, would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to witness revival in your family. You're going to witness healing in your marriages. You're going to watch teenagers that had grown cold on God get on fire for God. Hey. I have found in my walk with God that in our seemingly ordinary faithfulness, in our seemingly ordinary obedience, he does extraordinary things. Hallelujah. And I believe that God wants to do some extraordinary things on this ordinary Sunday. Praise God. How many of you came in here today with expectation?
Yeah.
Believing that God was going to do a work in this service today.
Whoa.
If that's you, I want you to lift your hands right where you are. I want you to lift your voice right now. And I just want you to begin to invite the operation of the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing to begin to flow in this room right now. Come on, I want you to begin to declare some extraordinary things out loud right now. Say, God, by faith, I believe that we're going to have this miracle. God, that we're going to attain this promise. God, that we're going to see this purpose be fulfilled in our family. God, I believe in you for it today. God, today.